Last time on the Empire Initiative. Armed with a map provided by the clock, the crew travels to the Black Forest. Along the way, Rain and Zavari complete their studies, but their journey is waylaid when they discover a headless corpse on the trail and hear the sounds of battle nearby. Eager to help, they intervene in the fight and engage the blood-sucking Sturges and terrifying Bonestalkers attacking a lone Tabaxi druid. After the battle is won, the druid introduces themselves as Drift and tells the team that the corpse they discovered was the last of his polycule who lost their lives to the terrible monsters of this nightmarish forest. Dot and Drift pray together to Sylvanas for the lives of his fallen lovers, while Rain sings a song of rest. Meanwhile, Zavari receives a letter from Graham, her brother's best friend, with dire news. This is Episode 7, Black Forest Ham, Part 2.
You guys are following a spooky trail in a dark forest. So Drift is able to, he actually like leads you to like a slightly, you know, wider path. You guys were following like a deer trail of sorts, so it's very thin. And he knows how to like navigate this forest. So he's able to kind of like bring you guys to a spot where there's a more clear path, which is a lot easier for your horses to manage. Yes, Charlie Big Bottom's perfectly at home. And probably like when you guys took like a really short rest because you guys took your like 5 minute one.
Yeah.
But he probably like, you know, threw up a net and caught some flies. while you guys were resting. And Rain, I would like you to roll a wisdom check for your horse. Like a wisdom save.
15.
Okay. Zavari, I would like you to do the same.
Just a flat roll?
Yeah, it's a wisdom save. I don't know what the bonus for your horse would be.
I rolled an 11 base.
I don't have the horse stats up. I should have thought about that.
I should have thought that too. Yay.
It's a zero.
It's a plus zero?
Yeah.
So what did you roll?
An 8.
Okay. So your horses have been traveling in pretty much complete darkness for several hours now. It's not something that they're used to at all. It's starting to like get to them. They're both starting to like, you can kind of tell, you guys, you know, you've been with your horses long enough, you can tell that your horses are getting anxious. And, Zavari, your horse is, because you guys are leading them probably, right? Mm-hmm. You're like leading them to this trail, and you're to a point where you could get on top of, you know, get on them and ride them because mm-hmm. there's enough clearing. But like Zavari, when you put your hand like on your horse's side, she like jumps a little bit, Mochi.
Mm-hmm.
She like jumps a little bit, like, you know what I mean? Like her like side twitches, and you can tell that she's like jumpy and like, you know, mm-hmm. easily rattled right now. Rain, you're trying to lead your horse like onto the trail, and what is your horse's name again?
Che.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and Che has stopped like dead in her tracks. Her knees are locked. She is like not trying to step down onto this trail, not trying to like move from where she is because she's like had it. She's basically to a point where she's had enough of like this panic, right? Because like the only thing they've been able to see this whole time is flashes of lightning.
Can you give her vision?
Yeah. Let me read the rules because I can maybe give it to my horse too. Okay, I can give dark vision to up to 3 willing creatures I can see within 10 feet, lasting for 1 hour. Yeah.
Up to 2 willing creatures?
3.
Well, that's at least for an hour.
Yeah, at least an hour for them to calm down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to say you can do two creatures for an hour and a half each.
Because who? It would just be them two then, because Charlie Big Bottom's fine.
Yeah, Drift doesn't have a mount.
Yeah.
So two creatures for half?
An hour and a half.
Yeah.
Okay. So
two creatures for an hour and a half.
I will extend my eyes of night.
So what does that look like?
You know, that's a really good question.
You put a little
I touch Che, your horse, and like kind of put my hand on their head,
mm-hmm.
and before they can freak out,
she's like mad that she's letting you.
Yeah,
you know,
and their eyes start to glow, like a faint red color, mm-hmm. and then after like it fades, and you can just see
mm-hmm.
after that.
Okay.
Little laser eye surgery, essentially.
Oh, yeah, there's shitty ass LASIK.
That only lasts for an hour and a half.
Give me another wisdom save.
I rolled a nat 20.
She got a six.
Can you have advantage because she can see?
I would say that you can give her Bardo.
Okay. Oh, it's okay, love. It's okay.
Oh, whoa. It like landed on all of my other dice.
Plus six. 12. Okay, good. So with a 12, she's like clearly like startled by the sudden ability to see in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and she kind of goes and kind of like backs up a little bit and sort of pulls for a second and jerks her head around. But after a few minutes, she settles down a bit. And you see her kind of taking some deep breaths,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, now would be a good time to hit her up with, like, a sugar cube, probably.
Oh, yeah, she's getting...
Yeah,
love.
She's chilling. With the nat 20,
she should get...
Your horse, like...
Doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, blinks and, like, can see, and it's just, like, she immediately, like, chills out, she calms down.
Mochi's
like,
just chill like that.
Hell yeah, like, she's just happy. But, yeah, so you guys have managed to, like, calm your horses. You know, for the time being, but the darkness is definitely like taking a toll on them. So you'll definitely, you know, want to keep that in mind. Though you hopefully won't be in this forest for too much longer. You're definitely going to be here longer than an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And Charlie Big Bottom is like, I don't get it.
Singing in the dark.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's like, y'all are dramatic.
What the horse doing?
Just eating bits.
Like, petting his bristly thorax like, good boy, Charlie.
Savari wishes she couldn't see.
To be fair, Charlie is a good boy.
He is a good boy. She is still unnerved by the big spider.
I can imagine.
Has not gotten over her fear of spiders yet.
More handpacks.
Yeah, the spiders are rough. That's true.
Lots especially of spiders
giant,
in this
especially giant thing. Spiders. But yeah, Drift is like, what did you do?
Oh, I made it so they can see.
That's incredible. And he like kind of waves his hand in front of Mochi. And Mochi follows the hand, you know. He's like, wow, I didn't know such a thing was possible.
Mm. Only to a very select group of people.
Of course. I was going to offer to light a torch, but I guess you've got it covered.
For an hour and a half at least.
Oh.
The ability's here to be used.
I'm like, what magical shit can we do? Just fucking light a torch.
No. We light the torch in an hour and a half.
Oh, then Rain's like, no, that's ringing the dinner bell.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, to be fair, the torch would definitely attract something.
Yeah.
Especially these days, like. Then he kind of, like, looks over his shoulder, and you can see, like, Drift is still kind of, like, I guess, actually, make an insight check. I shouldn't just give you this for free, technically. Whatever. You guys have, do you guys have passive insight?
It's actually the one thing I don't have a really high number for.
18 is my passive insight.
Oh, yeah.
And I rolled a 30-20.
Oh, yeah.
13 is mine.
Right. It's obvious to you that, like, Drift is still, like, really shaken up. And, like, he's keeping his head kind of on a swivel and his ears on a swivel as well. He, like, definitely seems, like, fearful of another ambush, you know?
I go up to him.
And he's been kind of, like, leading you guys a little bit.
Hey, Drift. You know, I am really grateful for your guidance right now, and we should stay on guard, of course, but... And then I touch his shoulder and I cast heroism.
Oh, nice.
And really, but you know what? We just gotta get through this. And you are doing a great job at leading us through this. Okay. And I'm grateful.
You know, he kind of like, he takes your words into serious consideration and he goes, you're being too kind to me, my new friend, but I do know where, I do know that the pond is just a few minutes, a few minutes through this trail. They just came out of nowhere. I don't know. We got separated, and I think that was the problem. And he's kind of like trailing off, and you can tell he's like, mm-hmm. you know, reliving his experience. And he kind of, you know, but you're right. The task must be done.
There's time once we get out of the forest to grieve, but we need to get through the forest in order to be in a safe place to do so.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. You're right. Well, yeah, the pond's not too far from here. It's in a small clearing. It's actually quite a beautiful place. A treant. I used to live there.
Ooh.
Sounds magical.
Yeah, it was. Hopefully it can be again. I fear it's too late for our treant friend, but maybe we can at least make sure he can rest.
Absolutely.
He'll bring you kind of up here, and as you guys are approaching the pond, there starts to be like a light misting of rainfall, kind of like dripping through the trees above. So, you know, just you can hear like a very soft, like almost like fuzzy noise of this like very light rain coming down.
Can I cast Vigilant Blessing on myself? It just gives me advantage on the next initiative roll that I do.
Yeah.
Cool.
And Drift will, you know, he'll turn around to you guys and go, you know, we might want to like drop off like the horses.
Yeah.
Just near the opening of the clearing, just in case, you know, there's something dangerous. Well, I mean, besides the Ayla, which is the creature that he's here to cleanse. This creature is like semi-incorporeal, so it can fly pretty fast. It could easily fly past us and attack the horses if it wanted to, I think. Anyway.
Do you know what type of creature this is?
Yes, it is a fae.
Oh.
It is a dark fae.
Mm.
Yeah, so yeah, and Drift will explain to you, you know, the Ayla is a creature that it starts as like a kind of like a lichen, like an infection on a treant, and it's a parasitic creature. It draws more and more energy from the treant until the treant, you know, dies, and then the Ayla is like born of the treant's husk. They're vile, vile creatures, and they poison the earth
ecosystem.
With their presence and their ecosystem. He'll bring you kind of as close to, you know, as close as he can get before he's able to like see what he's looking for. And he's at kind of out front. He like peeks his head around over here and then will kind of like quiet, like gesture you to come closer. And like, as you guys are coming closer and like the fuzzy sound of the rain, it like seems like it's not very loud, but when you get a little bit closer, you realize it was drowning out the sound of like some creatures interacting in front of you guys. And you hear like a groan, and like splashing.
Now seems like a good time for me to put my hand on Rain's shoulder and cast protection from evil and good. Specifically for fey creatures.
Ooh.
Can you remind?
That gives them a disadvantage on attack rolls against you, and you can't be charmed, frightened, or possessed by them.
We can... You can also... You can write it on the board. So that we can all try to remember. So it takes advantage
on attack rolls.
On attack rolls.
And they can't be charmed, frightened, or possessed.
Oh, that's good. Not for any particular reason.
Just good to know in general.
Yeah.
I wish I could concentrate on multiple spells.
Is there an item for that?
That's a good question. Mm-hmm. Rules as written? No. Do I have a homebrew item that does that?
Somewhere.
Yeah, I do. I do. But you guys haven't found it yet.
It's, okay, it's somewhere out there. It's many things in the world we don't know.
So I get protection of good and evil. I go straight into moon blind. Is that okay? Is that, do we like pre-battle mode?
I mean, you can. Yeah, you hear stuff, but you're not like, you guys aren't engaged. So, an initiative or anything. So like,
I feel like I'm gonna preemptively go into Moon Glen.
He's kind of checking out the scene, and he kind of turns around and looks at you guys and he goes, something's already engaged in battle with it. he kind of just kind of like chuckles. He's like, and then you hear. And you see like a flash of light, and then...
We should proceed cautiously.
So you look around the corner, and so you see the pond is not like super large. It's a really like modestly, it's like a modestly sized pond. And there is this husk of a tree in the like northwest sort of corner of the pond. There's like a big rock, and it's like the tree is like has like the it. It's like a tree, but its bottom doesn't like the bottom of its trunk isn't like one solid piece. It like splits into two, almost like legs, and you can see it's kind of like leaning, sort of permanently, just almost into like the water, and the bark is. It's got these like bulbous sort of like pock marks all over it, not pictured, and it looks like it's like it has like several arms coming off of it. There's like no foliage, there's no life to it. It's clearly like an empty husk of a tree, and you know, you guys would know probably that, you know, this is a corpse that you guys are looking at.
The tree is a corpse?
Yeah. Hmm. You see like, so like out of the top of like, so it's kind of like hollow at the top. And kind of out of the top of it, there's like this thin, wispy sort of like vortex of smoke. It's very, very thin, right? Like a string. Almost. And it is stretched out and coalescing into like this almost like hag like looking creature, with like wind blown hair, and it's like wearing like smoky black rags. It looks corporeal almost, if that makes sense. There's like a mist coming off of it. And it has kind of like she has like a humanoid upper body. Like she has these long, long like arms and like pointed claws on the ends of her hooked fingers. And she is engaged in battle with another creature. Yeah, and in place of hips, it's just like smoke. It's just a twist of like smoke in it. And you can see like the trail of it having traveled from out from inside of this tree. It
and over to the creatures that it is engaged in battle with. And, you know, as you're kind of, like, surveying it, you didn't notice it at first, but, like, on the trunk of the tree, like, sort of towards the top, you see, like, a couple of butterflies, like, orange and green butterflies. And, like, probably about two or three of them just kind of resting up there. They didn't move at first, so it didn't draw your eye. You were obviously looking at the battle, but, like, you know, at second glance, you see, like, a couple of butterflies there. This beautiful lady, she's fighting, like, over the water, and she can fly. Obviously, she's flying. She doesn't seem to be affected by, like, gravity. She seems, like, sort of weightless. And she's fighting with two creatures. They're the same type of creature. So you see these, like, these green... They sort of look like treants, but not quite. They're much smaller, and they have not... They don't necessarily have, like, bark, but they're kind of made of, like, vines and lichen and moss. They have these bulbous, like, yellow glowing eyes, these, like, slitted nostrils, and the nostrils are, like, running. This, like, black oily liquid is, like, running out of their nostrils. And it kind of has this, like, it has, like, a beard of, like, gray moss. And it's, like, just absolutely covered in, like, mud and muck. Both of them. So you guys see two of these guys are engaged in combat with this Ayla currently. And they look very angry. And these guys are like, they're like humanoid size. They're not like, that's what I said, like they kind of look like a tree, but they're much smaller.
They're bushins.
Yeah. Basically. Oh, that looks about right. So you guys aren't this high up. It's this far up. But this is a pretty good, you know, representation. Roll for initiative.
30,
20.
23.
Oh.
Oh, 16. Wow. Jeez. Drift real quick. Wow, he got a 2.
Oh.
Drifty. Plus 3, but it's still only a 5. So then turn order is going to start with Dart. Then it's going to be Rain. Then it is going to be the Ayla. Then Zavari. Then the two bush monsters. They're called Bajanix.
Not right now.
They're spelled weird too.
Oh, now super not right now.
One is red and one is purple, so that's kind of how we're gonna do. Yeah, I like Bush Ent way better. Then Drift is last. Now it's up to you guys if you want to like immediately like jump into this. They actually roll for stealth for me. they're all fighting, so they have disadvantage. But
22.
Wow.
Flying? 19.
I have a +6 now to stealth.
Oh.
26.
26?
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Knowledge is power.
Plus Jack Valtry.
Yeah, so none of the creatures like that are currently fighting notice that there's anyone watching them or that there's anything going on. The bush ant creatures. They are like fucking snorting black oil. They're making like claw attacks at it. The Ayla is very like dexterous and is like avoiding a lot of their attacks. You can see that they do manage to hit it. They can hit it, but they're mostly missing. And she has shot them. Like you guys witnessed it. She throws out her fingers and there are bolts of lightning that go out, like, arc off of her fingertips. And she's, like, shocking them. And then they're standing in the water, so they're like, you know, they're jerking and freezing up for a moment while they're getting shocked. And you can see, like, the excess electricity is, like, sparking across the top of the water. Drift kind of, like, whispers, he's like, how long do you think they've been fighting?
I don't think very long.
Do any of the creatures look significantly hurt?
Make an insight check or perception.
I got a natural 20 for perception.
So no. None of the creatures look particularly injured. And you can see it's starting to like kind of disperse a little bit, but there's like a thin trail of this like black sort of liquid, you know, coming from behind them, mm-hmm. where like potentially these Bajanics entered the water. Yeah, these Bushins entered the water. But like the substance, it's like sizzling and sort of eating away at the like grasses and plant matter on the floor, but you can see it's like seeping down and getting, you know, getting absorbed into the ground.
Ayla is the bad thing, right?
Yeah, I would, at least the thing that we should go for first.
Mm-hmm. I trust trees more than I trust weird floaty smoky people.
Drift told you that he is here to get rid of this Ayla. He tells you what it is, like what the Ayla is. And so you definitely know that is your target. He'll tell you like the Bushins. he'll tell you that they are not necessarily friendly. But they're like neutral creatures, typically, mm-hmm. and that they look how they always look.
Oh, they that just makes look sense. Like
he's like, yeah, they just look like that.
Okay.
So with that information, what you will basically like, don't get near them. They're still dangerous, but yeah. Like they're not like invasive. They're not bad to the environment, basically.
The Ayla
is the target. So you know, with that being said. I'm willing to, like, say, you know, you guys start anywhere on, like, this sort of end of the pond without actually having fully approached the pond before they, like, notice you. So if you want to, like, position yourselves, and there's a little bit of, there's, like, some, this is, like, trees mm-hmm. and stuff, so there's a little bit of cover here if you...
I like that.
And there's still, like, the trees are... varying heights. There's like a canopy of trees overhead too.
Yeah. You know?
Can I? Oh, what do I do?
I'm tempted to take a risky maneuver here, guys.
Mm-hmm. Like the dart special.
The dart special.
Do it.
Maybe not. Can I start off over there?
Sure. And then Drift is going. Kind of cautiously hug that side as well. So, Dart, you are leading us off. You can't see it, but I can. You're 75 feet from the Ayla. Huh? 80 feet from one of the Bajanics and 75 feet from the other. And then you are 90 feet from the other side of the pond. It gives you kind of an idea of like what sort of distance you're working with. And I can like scroll this up.
Well, I think my arrows are accurate to like 800 feet or some nonsense like that.
Yeah, no doubt. Put you back in the crotch. There you go.
Hell yeah.
Thanks. You know me.
In the crotch. Yeah, I know you as well as some of my NPCs.
That's true. Some? It's like one.
Well, yeah, you're right. Sorry.
It's like, you've been romancing? Okay.
Nah. Not naturally.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you include Mavina's, like, animal companion, Mavina's animal companion definitely knows Mavina better than I do.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. You know? Fuego. And,
Fuego.
You have another griffin.
Marietta.
Yes, that's right. But she doesn't like to fight, is that right?
She does, she doesn't like people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Understandable.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I'm sure they know Mavina better than me. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they know Mavina better than I do, too.
Yeah.
Sometimes the NPCs do know their character better. Shit.
But yeah, so, Dart, it's all you, buddy, and... I'm happy to scroll this around. I know, it's really big. I I can make the map, like, to the size of the screen. I figured out how, but some maps just need to be bigger, so.
Mm-hmm.
I will also say that the water looks, like, kind of, like, murky and nasty. It doesn't look, like, necessarily, like, poisonous or anything, but it does not look great. The water on there looks way better. That's, like, how it's supposed to look, but not how it looks now.
Put a filter over it.
Yeah, I should have. That's
pretty. A funky filter.
Just draw dirt clods everywhere.
We should clean the river. Okay, I'm done. Let's go.
Oh, we're trying to.
I know.
That is literally what you guys are trying. That's so funny. I didn't even think about that. Dart, what's your play?
Man, what is my play?
Do you two want to just start trying? What do you guys have to do to make this, like, to start?
Gotta
get rid of that. I know we have to get rid of the thing. Okay.
I think killing it is, like,
numero uno step.
Yeah.
I will. I'll fire the long bomb at it, you know? I'll take a shot.
All right.
See what happens. Maybe I'll get its attention. 22.
You got a 22?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that definitely hits it. And you're just, are you, like, just shooting, like, a regular arrow at it?
No.
Oh, no.
I want to use one of my sharp magical arrows.
Those do extra damage, right?
You got a plus 3 arrow.
Jeez. What, I gave you that shit? Oh, the oil of sharpness, that's right.
I have a limited supply of them. I have 24 of them, but I do have them.
All right. Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, you definitely fucking nailed this thing.
Good lord. I'm going to use my piercer. That's better. 11 points of regular damage and 1 point of psychic damage.
Okay. Yeah. You shoot your arrow, and it's kind of like, it's weird because at first it seems like the arrow catches, but really it's just like tearing through like a chunk of fabric. But as it passes through this creature's body, it's like significantly slowed and it like sort of falls behind it. But you can tell that it like tore a chunk of its semi-corporeal form away, and it definitely hurt it, and it fucking notices. It immediately just, and it locks eyes with you, and Dart, it has like these sort of like beady eyes with like no pupil or iris or anything, and they're just glowing blue, and it just.
I'm not intimidated in the slightest.
We're used to this.
And you can see, like, its whirlwind body underneath it is like, it's like whipping up faster and angrier.
I better shoot at it a second time. 22 again.
Jeez. Killer.
It can't take the psychic damage a second time to the same target, so I don't get to roll that 1d4, but that's okay. Fuck sticks. Can't use piercer again either. That's 6 more damage.
Hey, it's something though.
Mm-hmm. It's still very solid.
Yeah. That one kind of like tears at the edge of it. So it doesn't push all the way through and tear a big chunk out of it like the first arrow did. But it's still like, you can tell it's still doing damage to it. And it's just fucking getting more and more riled up. And it is all eyes. It's like locked into the dark, if that makes sense. And like it has like a focus, like a rage. You can see the wind building up underneath it. The water is like splashing, you know, from the like vortex of wind. There's like a whirlpool in the water underneath that's like washing the feet of the bush ants.
Bush ants is like the slang term.
Yeah. Dart, do you do anything else for your turn?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Can I use my full movement, which I think would probably take me, like, there-ish, at the edge of the pond?
Let's see, if I remember, you were, like, here. Could your train go to the edge of the pond? Yeah, that's your full movement.
Okay.
Yeah, you nailed it, actually. It's exactly 30 feet.
Wheat. All right.
Thanks.
I'll stay there. That's good. I thought about Misty stepping even closer, but I don't need to get, like, right in its face.
I thought, ooh, what you about to do?
I'm ranged.
It's like, okay, I got that raised dead cooking up for ya.
Rain, it is your turn. I've got my pointer on the crotch. It's showing you.
I'm 75.
What you're, yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't want to hit them. I don't want to hit the lizards.
You're 15 feet from being on screen.
Okay. Well, I would like to not be the only one who can, I don't know, whip up a storm underneath them. And not, never mind. So she's going to use flight and the feathers, her tattooed feathers, fly off of her and create like a wind tunnel underneath her, which causes her to be able to like fly. And I feel like Flux is like holding her, like her core, to make sure that she's able to like stay upright and like weather the storm, really, if that makes sense.
Like, yeah, helping you like shift your weight and manipulate the flight.
Indeed. So I'm doing that. Even with Moonglide, I can't make it to them. But what I can do is fly up. I would like to fly up. I want to be above, or like maybe 10 feet up off the water. And then like a little ways away. So like, yeah, like right here and like up on top of this.
Yeah, so that's 40 feet. Yeah, you can easily
get that. And then I would like to test out one of my new spells.
Ooh.
Wait, yeah, because the flight is a bonus action. So I would like to try my hamstring cantrip.
Okay.
So I create a missile of Eldritch energy and send it at a target you see within range. Make a ranged spell attack against the target. On a hit, the target takes 1d4 force damage, or well, it'll be 2d4. And it can't take reactions until the end of its next turn.
Oh, okay.
So, I feel like it is not black. Like, I feel like the hamstring and like...
What does your Eldritch be?
It, like, this is rays, not Umber Wars.
Well, so, this, she got that from Asmodeus. That's not Umber Wars related.
Asmodeus. So I feel like it's like a light blue, probably. That makes sense. Yeah, so I'm gonna try to hit this with a ranged attack that I am not proficient in.
Well, it's a spell attack.
Oh, it's a spell attack. Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. So you just use your spell casting for Bard.
Okay.
Because it's a Bard spell.
Okay. Oh, nat 20 plus
ooh,
6.
Ooh, so that's 2 things.
So yeah, it crits. So yeah, you launch this. You said it's a blue beam?
Yeah.
Is it like a bzzz, like is it like a laser beam?
Like
or do you like throw it, or? I'm just imagining it. Is it like, is it like a javelin?
Yeah, I feel like, so what it is like, because it's a bard attack, so, and she's like a singing bard, I guess. So I feel like she'll like take her hand and like go across her mouth, and it pulls like magic out, like it's not like she's pulling it out like in front of her, but like she's not pulling a javelin out of her throat. That's not happening.
Approaching
yeah, the sword. No, but it's like this gaseous blue thing, energy,
like a stream of
that she's able to just like sing the magic into a javelin in which she is holding, and then she can like chuck it.
Yeah, so you nail this thing with it. So you crit, so you roll double damage.
Okay. So 4d4. My poor thumb.
Your poor thumb.
It's a sad day for thumbs, guys.
Yeah.
Well, your thumbs out there.
Listeners at home, please make sure you're appreciating your thumbs.
Because damn it, if you don't have thumbs, I feel your adaptations. So 8, 11, 13.
Yeah, so you throw this like javelin and it like sinks into her. Like, it doesn't, like, go through or, like, sinks into her. And then she kind of, like, jerks her hips and, like, locks eyes with you across the pond. And then she turns her head and looks back at Dart.
You know, the ranger got the hell out of her.
Are you moon gliding over the pond?
And flying, yeah.
And flying.
Mm-hmm. I have my Master of Raven's Flight going.
Oh, right. I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. I was like, how are you doing that? Dope.
I'm souped up brain right now. I better go get into the battle. But I couldn't make it all the way, so I had to chest my way to it. So that ended my turn.
So it is the Ayla's turn. So she's got this, you know, big, angry whirlwind building up underneath her. And she uses her 40 feet of movement to zoom as close to Dart as she can get. She like, and there's like a splash line like along the water, you know, how like a boat or something would make. There's like a stream line around along the water of her like path over it.
Get some.
She, as she flies away, the bush ants, they do try to like swing at her, but like because she's flying in semi-corporeal, like basically it just does not, like attacks of opportunity do not work on her, basically. And she is going to, you're lucky. So she is going to kind of like claw at you, but like this. And when she does that, as she's forcing her hand forward, it's like tearing through the wind and sparking up this electricity. And she launches like some streams of lightning at you. Make a dexterity save.
You got it. 26.
26.
Easy worth.
Yeah. So you are going to, so yeah, it's easy for you to, you know, to dodge this. You kind of, you're able to like kind of jump out of the way, but the electricity, you know, being electricity, it's sort of drawn to you. So while you do manage to like avoid most of the damage, you still take 14 lightning damage.
Hot diggity daffodil.
She can't do anything else because she can't reach you. She doesn't have any more movement. So the Ayla is going to conclude her turn, and it is Zavari's turn.
Me. I'm going to do what I do best. I'm going to blast because the range is 120 feet. I'm going to blast the Ayla. Mm-hmm. 27. On the first beam, and then a 18 on the second beam.
Okay, those both hit.
Cool.
Her armor class is 18.
11 on the first beam, 8 on the second beam. And I want to push her away from the guard. And just push her, like, directly back.
She gets
thrashed.
She gets blasted backwards, yeah. And, like, the wind underneath her, like, kind of, like, almost, like, deadens for a moment as she, and then you can see it kind of like rushing up under her to kind of like catch her and like prop her back up. And I mean, she looks like, you know, like she's been taking some decent damage. Like, she's not quite like bloodied, but.
And that's my turn.
It is the bush guy's turns, the bush ends, the Vaginix. So the water here, where it's kind of like lighter, is maybe like no more than 3 or 4 feet deep. The deeper part of the water is, you know, probably, you know, anywhere from like 6 to 10 feet deep. The blue, or the, sorry, the purple Bajanik, he is going to like dive into this deeper water. And he's, like, surprisingly agile in the water. He's, like, you know. And he kicks these powerful legs that propel him. So his swim speed is faster than his walk speed. So yes, if he swims most of the way, he can actually get to, and then he like reaches the shore and kind of, you know, just emerges out of the water as like lumbers forward, and he'll kind of stand right, actually he'll stand right here at the edge of where it gets deeper, and he is going to spray acid at her. So he like kind of like leans its head back a little bit, and then just out of its nose, a oily black spray, just like a water gun, jettisons out at her.
Yucky.
She's gotta make a dex save, and she does save. So she does get hit by it, but she manages to avoid some of the damage. And now, like, the whole front of this creature is just covered in this, like, oil. Because, like, it's gotten everywhere. It's, like, in the water. It's fucking nasty. It's, like, a little bit viscous, kind of chunky, now that you're looking at it. The other one steps over to the husk of the treant and just, like, starts hitting at the base of it. And you can hear like the hollow sound of it, you know, kind of reverberating. And he's just kind of like angrily, you know, attack. Like it's like almost like he doesn't understand that, you know, this creature is dead almost. It's you know, if that makes sense. It's like, seemingly nonsensically. But when he does that, the butterflies inside of the hollow treant are become disturbed. And you saw just like a couple of butterflies chilling, hanging out there, but like from inside, a huge swarm of butterflies flies out.
Your face shit.
The picture in the book is like just butterflies on the trunk of a tree. Strangely adequate. But they basically just look like butterflies, literally. Yeah, it is a big, foreboding-looking swarm of butterflies. Like, that is not normal. And the butterfly swarm will join initiative.
Okay.
Oh, but it rolled super low, which is bad because it goes last. But it's also good because it goes this round. And the Bush End just like looks really confused and starts like kind of panicking. It is Drift's turn. You have to call out to him.
No, I mean, Drift, what the fuck is this?
Well, he will, he'll say, it appears that there was some sort of symbiosis going on.
Yuck.
Those are death butterflies, and they're aptly named.
Butterflies make you die.
Unless you go twice as high.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so he's like, yeah, those are death butterflies. But be on your guard. For sure. And he... Oh, perfect. So he is going to run over to Dart. And he'll say, I think your range is going to be key here, my friend. And he will reach out, and as he's like reaching out, you can see his paws starting to glow with like a red, sort of glowy, fiery spark, like cinders in his hand. And he touches your quiver for 1 hour until he stops concentrating. Anything you shoot an arrow at drawn from that quiver takes an extra 1d6 fire damage. He is casting flame arrows on your quiver.
Flame you, Hotman.
Cool.
I used to do this for my wife. So yes, he is spending his turn buffing your arrows, and he is going to, with his bonus action, cast Shillelagh on his staff to get it ready to start thwacking things.
Thwack, thwack.
Because Shillelagh is not concentration, mm-hmm. Luckily. That is Drift's turn. So now it is time for the death butterfly swarm to descend onto the ent, the bush ent. Basically, you see, like, this is, it's a ton of, it's like thousands of butterflies, and they just engulf, what, go ahead?
It's a kaleidoscope. Oh. It's what a group of butterflies is.
It's a kaleidoscope. Of death it butterflies. It is a kaleidoscope of death butterflies. Yes, brilliant. And they just, like, engulf the whole creature. Like, they take up a huge amount of space. And you just can't even see the bush guy anymore. And they're going to start biting him. You just hear, and just the butter, like, you can't tell what's going on. Like, you just see it's completely engulfed in these butterflies. And, you know, sounds like maybe it's not doing well. Jerk is like, dear God, Sylvanas, guide me.
Ham fact it up.
Tell us about your character's favorite third place. Where do they like to go when they aren't? Where did they like to go when they weren't home or working? What was the vibe? Who else did you spend that free time with?
All right, I will go first, I suppose. Dart's third place was the ye old swimming hole.
Nice.
I would describe the vibes there as like the summer off from school type vibes. I spent my time there with the other young frog folk. But I would describe it as a very, like, I'm gonna say Mark Twain-esque existence. Hanging out, fishing, swimming, skipping rocks, the usual.
Playing banjo.
Yeah.
Making little boats out of leaves.
Yeah, making little boats out of leaves and playing music together, and just, that was our little hangout spot.
That sounds so nice.
Rain had a third place she had to go and a third place that she wanted to go. Because she wasn't great at school and she was on the access ball team, she was required to do extra study hours at Mervyn, which is a house, or like basically a house that they revamped for the athletes to study in. And I had to clock my hours and be there, but I never really studied. I basically just took naps, but I had to be there. But when I wasn't there, I was at, I'm not even going to change the name because I feel like the name is fitting, the White Horse Inn.
That's so funny.
I know.
Very
fun.
It's sort of a similar vibe. Numbers Val, her third place. When she's not working or at home, which she works at home. So when she's not working and at home, her favorite third place is a local college bar called The Cap. That's what the kids call it. That's not the actual name of it. And they do trivia night every Tuesdays and Thursdays. And that specifically is what she attends, the trivia nights.
She has anything to do with numbers, I feel like she's got it. Like,
oh yeah, I mean she slays a math trivia, but that doesn't come up a lot, unfortunately.
True. But I feel like she just retains information.
But yeah, I was like, but the thing is yeah, she has like a pseudonym. Mm-hmm. She's not Numbers Val when she goes there. She's Trivia Tina.
Trivia. My fucking Tina.
T.T.
For Zavari, when she was home growing up, she didn't really have a third place, given her status among society. So, one of her favorite places within the estate, when she, like, you know, didn't have to be in, like, the classroom or anything like that, she loved to be in the music room. It was previously just like an older room that like nobody used, and Zars insisted that they add a room full of instruments, and they obliged, and Zavari loved it. She started taking lessons for the harp, and it became her favorite instrument, And that was probably her favorite place to be. Her second favorite place to be was probably out in the gardens. And she could just, like, you know, have alone time to herself and write in her journals.
Ham-facted down.
Now it is Dart's turn. Aren't ecosystems so fun, you guys? Nature.
Can I fire a flaming arrow at the spooky tree?
You can. I was like, we need to set that shit on fire, but it's the body of, like, a tree, and so it's like, do we?
You can.
We should ask if it's respectful to set the corpse of a tree on fire.
Yeah, or is that something Sylvanas will frown at?
Yeah, you're standing right next to you.
Is that a Sylvanas no-no?
I mean, the tree is gone. And I think that...
Fire is rebirth.
Well, like, when we walked up, the swirlingness that thing was coming out of the tree. And then the butterflies came out of the tree. I don't like this tree.
Everything bad came from that tree.
Yeah, I'm gonna shoot a flaming arrow at that tree.
Okay, go ahead. I would say it's fairly easy to hit, but yeah, go ahead and roll it.
23.
Pretty big, so yeah. So you hit it with the flaming arrow. Go ahead and roll damage.
You say the flamingness was an extra 1d6?
Right? Yeah, it's the d6 of fire.
12?
12.
Yeah, I mean, so your arrow pierces it, and the flames sort of scorch it a bit. What I want you to do is roll a straight d20 at disadvantage, because this thing has been splashed with water during the fight and is wet, but it may catch fire if you get a 10 or higher.
I got an 18 and a 15.
Okay, so yeah, it starts to catch fire. You, like, shoot, you know, the inner rim of one of the hollows, and, like, that edge is really thin and dry, and it starts to, like, flame up, and it's beginning to, the flames are beginning to catch.
Use a slow burning wick on your arrow.
Tough work.
Could it be one of the crackling wicks, too?
Yes.
Those are so nice. It's like a campfire.
But in this context, it'd just be terrorized.
That was arrow number one. Arrow number two, I'm going to shoot at the... I can't remember what it's called. The thing.
The...
Ayla.
The Ayla, yeah.
The A-hole.
Basically.
24.
Yeah. All right. Sure. Definitely. What am I going to say? No?
Have you suddenly said no?
Yes, when its home is on fire, it has an AC 55.
Imagine
suckers.
Damn.
Imagine we fight them. She's like, yeah, no, 25 actually doesn't hit.
Eventually, I have something to offer that.
Me too. And
we
it's
just
a
have
gun.
To. We have to play. It's like over here with an ability that lowers AC, but you know, it's
question,
fine.
Because I don't think I remember this right. Do I add my dexterity modifier to my damage? I don't think I do.
Yeah, you do.
Oh,
for
I do?
Not yeah, for like your arrows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have not been doing that.
Oh, I thought you had.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then I use...
You don't add modifiers to spells, but
okay.
You do add modifiers to, like, weapon attacks.
Okay. Then 16 damage.
Yeah.
I wish I'd been doing that for that last fight.
It is, so yeah, you hit it, and the flames, like, they get, like, just flames get, like, kind of, like, when it hits the whirlwind, they get kind of, like, kicked up inside of it, and you can see, like, the flames, like, swirl up into the creature, and you can see it kind of light up from the inside for a moment, as it's, like, burning the inside. It's not like the fire at all. Doesn't do extra damage, it just fucking hates it. It is starting to look severely diminished, aka bloodied. It's even more fucking pissed off at Dart.
Yeah, I think that's cool. I'm good.
I'm good. I'm gonna stay here with Drift.
Wait, I'm sorry, hold on. I forgot about a thing that I can do. I'm gonna use my War Priest ability. Because it's a bonus action. And I'm gonna fire another arrow at it.
Nice.
I rolled a nat 1.
Not as nice.
Nope. But I have inspiration.
Do it.
It's my last inspiration. I'm gonna do it because I don't want to waste that War Priest thing. 16. Oh.
Ooh.
Still doesn't hit.
I believe in you. I was going to on the next turn.
It's okay. It's okay. Sometimes you just don't hit.
Yep. Sometimes.
And now I have no inspiration.
It's okay. You'll get another one soon, I'm sure.
I'll have to say something really funny.
Yeah. Anything else?
Nope.
Before Rain's turn?
No, it's Rain's turn.
Rain believes in God with some Bardo.
Okay.
And she looks over and is like, "You're doing great, Bart.
I look at you quizzically. Could I have the marker?
"You're doing great, Dart. Keep it up."
I'm glad anti-inspiration is a thing.
That was dyslexia. I'm sorry. So I give my last Bardo of the day.
I was going to say, I'm going to put this pixel torch by Dart so that we know he has the party.
I wrote it.
Oh, you got it. You got it.
And then I would like... How far am I from the Aelor? I'm scared of the butterflies. Mm-hmm. Like, I was thinking about trying to add to the fire. Oh, wait, nothing's over there. Fuck, you know what I could do? I could fireball.
Well, the...
To it.
The guy.
Oh, shit, no, I can't.
That ent is
behind. Yeah,
is engulfed in it.
I don't want to hurt the end.
Well, he's getting fucked up in there.
I mean...
Hard to say if he's dead or not, if he's gonna live through this or not. He did fail his con save, so you wouldn't know that.
From the tree of mine?
I set that tree on fire.
It's, like, actively on fire, or just, like a little on fire?
It's a little on fire, yeah. It's not like,
My fire is black fire, so I don't think that would attract, like, fire, or, like, butterflies, you know?
How far are you from the trees?
40.
Yeah.
And then, how far am I from the lady?
55.
Well, I'm gonna go fly to the Ayla. And... Bang, bang. But I want to be, like, on this side.
You got the movement.
Yeah. I will come down. Because I'm beefed up rain. I need to be brave and confident.
Yeah.
So she's flying in the air too, yeah. So you know, like you could be fighting her in the air.
Rain, like, yeah, exactly. Rain wants to like punch her down and hit like her head from above as she's coming down first.
Yeah.
Sorry, I have to move things.
Go ahead and roll.
19+ 8.
So you fucking rock her. And like, when you punch into the top of her head, it like, she feels like solid at first, but then your like hands are like sink through. Have you ever like, what are those like, the fluid that's like solid when you smack it?
Oobleck?
Yes. Oobleck?
Oobleck or something?
Yeah. I can't remember what the property is called. But it's like that, like as soon as you hit it, it's like solid, but then you start to sink into it, and it like almost feels kind of mucky, but there's nothing like on your fist when you draw back, but like, yeah, you can see it. So it's kind of like, it's
punching into that weird.
Yeah, it's like
punching good for training.
Gloopy sand, yeah.
10 damage.
And she's kind of like, you know, she kind of like bobs down and has to like right herself, and you can see that like she's, again, like the whirlwind underneath her is a lot less powerful. She's a lot more, you know, diminished in power and energy.
I am then going to take my extra attack to hit her during my action, and then I can't do like period blows or anything like that because I've already done the.
Wait, what was your bonus action?
Bardo.
Oh, yeah.
But okay, I have a question. With my alter center of gravity, is that a bonus action? Do you think, or is it like a reaction from hitting?
So I thought it was like, I thought it was like setting strikes. So it's like if you hit, you can choose to use it.
Okay, yes, I would like to do that. I would like to do that, and I hit, right?
Yeah, I'd have to roll to hit.
Well, I just hit.
Yeah, you have to make a, you're making a second attack.
Okay.
Oh, you're doing it with the hit you just made.
Yeah.
I'm tracking.
No, you're good.
Yes, go ahead.
So I'm going to use 3 energy points. So I'm going to do Alter Center of Gravity. This is our brand new playtest of it, so I'm like really excited. So I am going to use the full 3 energy points. They have to make a constitution saving throw of 17. Or speed reduced to 0 and fall prone. Dexterity modifier removed from AC and disadvantage on dexterity checks and saves.
You said con save?
Yeah.
4+4.
That's what I like to hear.
So basically what it is that when Rain punches this Ayla, she has wherever she touched or punched is now their center of gravity. And so it messes, it alters their like perception of how gravity is affecting their body. And so it causes them to have disadvantage on dexterity checks and saves. And then because I used the full 3 energy points, they have their dexterity modifier removed from their AC. So their AC is lowered. But then they can try again for another constitution saving throw.
Lowered to 15.
So it's easier to hit them. And then at the end of each turn, they can try again to do a constitution saving throw. I'm excited. Okay, let's try this.
So it's like, so it's trying its best to use its whirlwind to kind of ride itself, but its head is like extra heavy. And it's sort of like, it's sort of like flying semi-inverted and it's kind of like wobbly. Does it try to fall prone now? Or is it on its turn? I think it's on its turn, right?
It says constitution saving throw or speed reduced to 0 and fall prone.
Oh, gotcha. So it lands in the water, kind of. Like semi, like right, because it's right here on the edge. So it's sort of in the water. There's like, the wind is like swirling under it, trying to like lift it back up. But it's kind of, you know, it's all wonky. And, it's like somewhat sinking into the ground almost, but still like physically on the ground.
And that would end her turn.
So it is the Ayla's turn. So speed is 0.
Mm-hmm.
Disadvantage on dexterity checks.
And saves.
And saves.
I think though it can get up now. Or like what? What do you do the playtest of it?
So it has to like roll to be able to get up, isn't that right? Or stay up, I guess, probably.
Yeah.
So it is going to like lift its head for a moment and kind of reach out, and it's going to try to claw at you with its claw attack. So that is 18 plus, a 26 to hit?
Yes.
So you get hit with its claws and you resist poison, isn't that right?
Yes. Well, I have advantage for poison, I resist the poison.
Oh, that's so you're going to take 8 slashing damage and 7 poison damage from its claws. And it is going to make another claw attack at you. Oh my god! My die!
It hits a
17
on the floor.
That hits, probably, right? 17 plus 8?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I'm late.
I got it.
Yes, it does.
Do floor dice count? Viewers at home, I'll start up a poll in like 7 months because I'm just guessing how long it'll take for you to hear this.
Probably, yeah. It's pretty hard.
Just kidding. I rolled it over 17, so
it was meant to be.
Yeah, it was meant to be.
Hit me one more time.
Yep.
Am I, because I'm like, what, am I 5 feet away or am I 10 feet floating up? I guess that's 5 feet.
8 slashing damage.
and 7 poison damage. Rolled the same amount of damage too.
I can't do mental math very well.
Her third attack is a bite attack.
Jesus. Well, I have. Wait, they should have been disadvantage on attack rolls.
Oh.
Because I have protection of good and evil against
fate. That's right.
But you can just start it from now if you want.
Well, it definitely did not hit you thanks to the disadvantage.
That's why I'm in.
I'll roll the last one because, like, you did. It was 8 and 7. Mm-hmm. 22 hits you, right?
Yeah.
So it would have hit you anyway, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. I rolled really good there.
It
has a plus 8 to hit, so.
Yeah.
But the bite misses. So she tries to bite you and it misses. Ha ha! And her lightning is not recharged. So that is her turn. And she's going to try to stay up. She has to make another con save.
Yeah.
No. No good. Got an 8. So she's back on the ground, unable to move.
Still at 15. Still at disadvantage on dexterity checks and saves.
Mm-hmm.
So blast. Go blast him. Or what?
And it's Zavari's turn.
Since she's not prone, does that mean I would get disadvantage?
On ranged attacks?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh shit, sorry.
Wait, disadvantage or advantage?
Disadvantage.
From ranged?
Yeah, if it's something that's laying on the ground, it's harder to shoot at, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
As per, you know, rules of written. But advantage on melee attacks.
I guess it can just bite the disadvantage. I'll just Eldritch Blast.
Extra attack. Anyways, continue.
Oh. Going? You didn't. Oh, no, you didn't. All right. Second beam?
17.
17 hits.
13 damage.
Rain, roll your other punch.
16.
16 hits?
9 damage.
Ooh, yeah. You actually had punched it an extra time, so had it down on the ground, you punched it while it was down, and then Zavari, you shoot, you know, 2 of your black flame blasts at it. One of them hits. Do you move it?
Yeah.
It'd be good if she moved it and it like hit it up into the air and then I just like
hit it. Well, it should be just throw it up.
More combos, team combos.
It just pushes it back, it says, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, unfortunately it's so specific.
Yeah. I guess if you were shooting from underneath it, if you figure out a way to do that, then you can blast it up into the air. I'd be willing to say that.
Or like on a seesaw. I'm just a seesaw.
So just, yeah, and you like, so when you blast it, you're like, it like rolls. And you're like, and it like kicks up like a bunch of grass and like twigs and leaves and shit. And it's just like, and it's like crumbled into a pile.
I just saw a video about being a halfling means that you can occupy the same space of creatures that are larger than you, so you can get under them and then do the repelling blast to shoot them up in the air, and then they take fall damage.
What you gonna do to the repelling blast?
You're small, you're considered medium.
What you willing to do for it?
Not that. I'll carry something smaller.
Anything for repelling blast, but I won't do that.
No.
So, do you do anything else?
Mm-mm. I'm nice and far away.
Blasting from a distance.
Yep, it's my safe space.
That means it is the Bushin's turns. He's gonna walk up to this thing and start slamming down onto it, and he gets advantage. So that's cool. Oh, and he needed that advantage, but he hits with his claws. I'm gonna go ahead and roll his other claw attack. And he hits with that one as well. And this thing is like, it's still just like it's still completely crumpled. And like, and this creature's like big fists are pounding down onto it. And it's fucked up. It is fucked the fuck up.
That is so funny.
crumpled. The other Vajinic. You don't know what happened to it, but it has not come out of the swarm, and you cannot see it
or what it is doing, if it is doing anything.
It's doing its job right now.
Dying.
It is Drift's turn, and Drift is like too far away to whack it. What can he do here? Honestly, he is going to cast Entangle. That moves up a bit. And he kind of like taps his staff on the ground, and on the third tap, he digs it in just a little bit, and you can see these like vines kind of sprout, like a thin vine. And then when it reaches the edge of like where he's targeting, these big thick vines just start reaching out and grasping onto the creature. It has to make a strength save, which it fails. So the crumbled, crushed Ella is now restrained by the plants. So he's just making sure it's held down in place to be, you know, finish off. The death butterflies, having finished off the Bajanik they were swarming, they start to return back into the tree, but the tree is on fire and the smoke kind of spokes them out, and they start to like fly around kind of frantically, but they don't settle or attack anything this turn, because it takes a lot of, they don't have like a ton of movement, because butterflies don't fly that fast. But they're starting to approach this Bajanik and the Ala here. At least that area, right? They're starting to approach at least the other Bajanik or something. They're going in that direction. Could also be going towards Rain.
They're fucking
that sort of thing. The tree, like the fire is spreading. I will roll to see what severity. It's still pretty small. Like, it could still be put out, but like there is like a large piece. There's like a large piece of it that's like on fire actively, but it hasn't spread to like the whole corpse yet. So it could still be put out, but like there would be significant damage. That's kind of where we're at in the burning currently. Dirt, it's your turn. Walk up and shoot it.
I mean, I could do that. I'm gonna shoot another flaming arrow at the tree. 16?
Oh, yeah. And a static object like that's gonna have an AC of like 8, 6, something like that. So, yeah, pretty easy to hit. Go ahead and roll like a straight d20. Because it's already on fire, so we won't do disadvantage anymore to see how much extra fire we're getting.
I rolled an 8.
Yeah, so it starts like another, like separate flame, very similar to the other one that you had, so you can kind of, you're probably expecting it to grow at roughly the same rate. But it's definitely burning away at more of the tree. And I will just say that it does the, like, damage you did last time again. So, yeah, that entire side is, like, severely damaged now.
I'm gonna fire my second arrow at the Ala that's entangled on the ground.
Okay, so you do have disadvantage, unfortunately, but...
You also have Bardo.
You also have Bardo. And its AC is lower. So you still have a pretty good chance of hitting it.
A 19 and a 12. But they're both plus 10.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, only so you hit it. You hit it. And you're getting there. Let me take a look here real quick.
Because I definitely rolled 11.
Kill it.
11. Yeah. Did you?
And then plus my 4 for my dexterity, which I always forget to add, the plus 1 for my air or my bow. So that's.
Oh, and your plus 3 arrows.
I'm not using those. Oh, I just used them for my opening volley.
Gotcha. Yeah. So you fucking.
So that's what 16 damage.
This flaming arrow just flies true, and it's engulfs the creature in flames. The flames, the wind that the creature like is made of, kind of like creates a fire vortex, like a small one, you know, as the creature is burned up and burned away, and it's just like a smoke, like a mist.
Cool. Well, that about does it for me.
Rain, there are no longer any active enemies right now. I mean, as far as you can tell, you don't know exactly what the swarm of butterflies is going to do, but...
Well, I feel like if we just leave this... I mean, I don't want the bush ant to get hurt, but also it could eat the Ayla. And like,
it doesn't leave a body.
Oh,
the Ayla just missed,
just evaporates.
Well,
that's probably why they lived in symbiosis. They couldn't eat the Ayla.
Oh, I thought they had symbiosis with the spooky tree. That's why I set it on fire.
I mean, the butterflies, I mean, they like the spooky tree for a certain reason.
Can I roll to see why, besides, like, housing?
I suppose Drifter, he kind of told you what they were already. He'll tell you that they death butterflies are called death butterflies because they eat dead stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Typically. Like, they'll eat stuff that's not dead if they're, like, starving or if they're threatening its home. But other than that, they go after, and including undead as well, but they go after like bodies. They're scavengers mainly. They're poisonous as well. Although, you know, Dart might think they look delicious, to be honest.
I'm slightly turned off by the death moniker.
Yeah. Yeah. But so they were attracted to the death of the treant.
Death, 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 death.
And then they were like, this is quite cozy.
Mom. Rain knows only you can prevent forest fires. So she wants to go put out the fire a bit. Or like,
if you do let the flames burn and the treant husk just burn away, then the butterflies won't have, like, they won't be able to live there. They'll have to go somewhere else.
Okay, I'm tracking. So she's just gonna sit over here by the fire and just relax.
So the bush end, the Bajanik, is so if you guys are just like disengaging from it, right? Like the fight in and of itself, the Bajanik, he like splashes into the water and dives into the deep heart. And the butterflies can't like follow him there. And he swims across to the other part of the water and then starts like lumbering away back into the woods. The butterflies, they kind of like, they sort of swarm around the tree, and you kind of see them do this like big ring around it, almost like they're like acknowledging the destruction of their home in a way. But then they like fly off in a big swarm, like deeper into the forest to go find something better to do. But the whole situation sort of like, it takes several minutes for everything to settle down, but it does settle down. And the treant, you know, corpse burns and it's starting to crumble and like kind of cave in on itself. And it's basically just becoming like these like burning cinders, is like a charcoal grill over there. If you had like a, you know, some meats to smoke, now would be the time. dead tree and wood smoked meat.
Could be good.
Well, this is God, so.
Yeah. Brain does not like that idea.
Yeah, I don't think anybody really likes that idea, but.
Hold on, I'm looking to see if I have meat in my inventory.
You did catch when I told you like last time you foraged that you got a bunch of fish.
Oh, I have fish.
So you probably have fish, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What is your movement?
It's 60 feet.
Oh, there we go.
So it's plus half of my movement. So my movement normally is 40 feet.
And then in colossal stance, it's 20 feet because it's half my movement. Because I'm heavier. Well, like I have more gravity on me.
It's like Zavari talking to Rain. I'm planning on getting a scroll of haste. I thought that would be helpful for you.
That would be fun.
So it would double your movement and add 2 to your AC.
You guys do still have Morag's food pills, which are haste pills. She gave you 3 of them.
Fuck, who has the food pills?
I do. I have 3 food pills in my inventory.
Yeah, but obviously it's haste, so it gives you exhaustion when it's over, but you can rest it off.
Yeah. You know? I just had thoughts of a haste in rain.
But it's not a bad idea to still have the scroll, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll take one of those food pills, not right now, but I really got one just for a... if you're good with that.
I never even needed to use my bardo.
Yeah. Well, you were rolling too good. So the scene settles. And Joe's like, I wonder why those Vajniks were so angry. Maybe the Trient was their friend?
Maybe. Or she was causing more damage and they were trying to do something about it. But I do feel like maybe they were friends.
Well, I'm glad everything has settled down. And he walks up to the edge of the water and he'll like kind of reach out and scoop it up and give like a little like, and it's like gross looking, like it's nasty, and he's like, oh. He splashes it off and he's like, yeah, that's what I thought. This entire pond is corrupted.
We need to purify this pond.
That's okay. I had a feeling that's how it would be. And he reaches into like his pack, and in his pack he pulls out like, it's like a chain. And on the chain, there are these like teardrop shaped like metal charms that are like, you know, they're just like that, like it's like that big, like they're like a couple of inches, you know, big. And they have like a cork on the side of them, like a little tiny cork corking them close.
They're like tiny little gourds.
Yeah, they're like tiny little silver gourds. And he unclasps one of them and he says, this is spiritual water blessed by Sylvanas himself.
Ooh. Fancy.
Does it always stay cold?
No, why'd you ask? It's dark. Would you mind praying with me?
Not at
all. While I do the purification.
Yeah, I'll pray.
So I kind of kneel at the edge of the water and uncorks it. He's kind of, you know, saying, you know, softly like, Oak Father, please hear our prayer. This pond has been corrupted by a dark fae. It is disrupting the local ecosystem and wreaking havoc on the natural order. I ask you to, you know, bless us in our pursuits to do away with this corruption. Oh, Father, please guide my hand and let us, with my brother Dart here, be bathed in your light.
Can I describe my prayer?
Yeah, please.
I sit down in like the edge of the water, crisscross applesauce, you know, and I got the fingers out like this, but I don't say om, I just croak really loudly.
Ooh. Yeah. No, I love that.
Very personalized.
Holy croaks.
It's amazing. Yeah, no. It's like, it's...
I love it so much.
So we are going to roll, we're both going to roll concordance. Which is kind of like, it means like, you know, how, like an agreement with your God, right? So it's just a d20, and then you have like an amount of piety, amount of favor with your God. Currently, Sylvanas doesn't know you well, but he does like you, so you get a +2.
Does he have Bardo?
Bardo is not work for Concordance, no.
I rolled a 9.
A 9 plus 2 is an 11. And Drift rolled a 14. I don't think it's time yet. There's something we're missing.
I'm gonna swim in the water. I'm gonna see if there's something in the water.
Okay. Go ahead. Yeah. So you swim in the water. It's like murky. It's mucky. There's like, you know, it's just unpleasant, even for you to swim into. Make an investigation check.
Oh yeah. Dirty 20.
Literally.
As you're, you know, you're swimming around in the water and you kind of like, you know, you get to the like end, like at bottom of the pond, and it's sort of like on the side of like where the Treant's corpse was. And you see like what looks like a limb of like a tree that has a very similar sort of bark to the Treant. And you can see it has these like pock marks on it. And like towards the wrist, like, so like for, you see it have like some kind of like lichen, some kind of fungus, some kind of infection, right? And in the husk, the infection is all dead. Down here in the water, a little bit of, there's this like purple sort of like fungus or like lichen that's still growing on this creature. It's basically the infantile form of an Ayla still living on this limb inside the water.
I can see where the growth is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's not like a huge limb. You could definitely pull it out of the water.
I kind of want to caustic touch it.
Okay. So, you can.
Yeah, let me acid touch the nasty growth on it.
So yeah, your like hands start to secrete, or like your body, I guess, because you're a frog, you could secrete it anywhere.
You see, my body is filled by a system of fluid-filled canals. Sorry, I've been trying to drop that in for
this entire Yes, thing. They're caustic fluid-filled canals. But yeah, actually, I would just go ahead and say that the acid works. Like however you want to administer the acid to it, it like starts to eat away at the lichen and it kills it. I mean, yeah, as you're like, you know, putting acid on it, of course the acid's like kind of like floating up and stuff, but like you're still damaging it and like, you know.
It's doing a thing.
Yeah, it's magic water. It's magic acid, okay?
Don't try taking it. I didn't mean to.
No, it's okay. I don't know how acid works, so I'm just like.
You're justifying yourself to
the
universe.
Yeah, we're going to pretend it. Yeah, it works.
It works. It works.
I'll swim with it back to the surface and throw it on the fiery stuff.
You're good. I think it works. You're
fine. No, I mean, I know, but I'm.
You're double tap.
I'm finishing burning off the husk because I don't want there to still be like stuff for death butterflies to come back to.
Okay.
I'm finishing that job.
You're good.
I got it.
You do.
So you come up out of the water, and just like, what was that? And you threw into the fire. Was that more of the creature?
Yeah, it had some yucky grossness on it.
Ugh.
I think that's what was befouling the water.
Hmm. You might be right. Well, in any case, let's try again.
Yeah, let's do.
With advantage this time.
I don't need it. I rolled a nat 20.
You feel Sylvanas.
Someone other than Asmodee.
Yes!
The second go.
Inexplicably, the trees overhead, like, part just enough, and a beam of sunlight comes down and over Dart and Drift as they're, like, praying. And the water, like, inside the vessel begins to, like, glow. And then Drift will lower his paw into the water with the vessel in his hand. And the whole pond begins to glow, this like soft blue light, and you can see all of the gunk drifting to the top of the pond and like dissolving away. You hear the birds tweeting happily singing. There's frogs again. There's
tweaking birds, man.
Yes.
That bridge.
Holy goodness.
A dragonfly kind of like comes around and like darts around Dart's head and then lands right on you. And then like there's, you eat it and it feels really good. Like, yeah, it looks so awesome. Sylvanas gave you a heavenly snack.
It tastes like cleansiness.
Very clean. Yes. Fresh.
And yeah, right before your eyes, this murky, nasty pond becomes this brilliant, beautiful, bluish, clear water. You definitely, because of that nat 20, I will say that Dart gets divine inspiration. Divine inspiration, Zavari had it once. It's, you add a d20 to your roll.
Yep.
Any roll.
What's funny about that is I've never used the two frog points you gave me at one point.
We haven't figured out what the frog points
were.
I was just hoping at some point you'd want to do something froggy and the frog points would make sense there, you know?
One day, frog points.
Yeah.
If you guys have any ideas, what
we're still holding on to those frog points. But yes, you get a divine inspiration. And a regular inspiration for, you know, kicking ass with the croaking and that was fire. Yeah, that was a good role playing moment. But yeah, I mean, what are you guys doing as you guys are watching, you know, the purification?
Well, I'm just sitting by the fire of the tree, making sure it doesn't spread, but also just Rain isn't super religious, so taking in like the customs of like this is one she can get behind, right? Where it's like nature and cleansing and all the kind of stuff. Zavari's version of Church of Asmodeus she can get behind. Like
knowledge, self-improvement.
Yes. So she is like just absorbing and accepting and watching in peace and trying to take just like a moment and also just waiting for Zavari's to reply.
Where's my man?
By the fire? Just like after reading the
Longing? Oh my god. What does Rain listen to when she's yearning? When she's longing for her partner? What is her jam?
Well, I'll pull up the Rara's playlist that we have. Plug in.
Yeah, find our playlists on Spotify.
I feel like it would be... Because, like, earlier, like, she's trying to relax, but all she has in her head is every time we touch.
That's her yearning song.
Yes, apparently.
At least this time.
Thank you for listening to Roll Forth. This has been the Empire Initiative featuring Samaria Hawkins as Lady Zavari / Lady Latria, Ryan Musgrove as King Dart of the Hopkins, Rachel Voss as Rain Vosgrove, and our wonderful MD, Shanna Cantu. We've mentioned them a couple times in our podcast, but do you know that we have Spotify playlists for all of our main characters? They all have different vibes, they're all different genres, and very interesting collections of songs that just remind us of our characters. And we also even have playlists for our favorite ships, like, you know, Rara's, you know, Rain. Zara's, Rara's, you get it. I know you get it, yeah. But even a few secret playlists for some ships that we may have as well here at our table. But, you know, while you're there listening to our podcast and listening to our playlists, take some time for you and listen to a song maybe you would have listened to like 10 years ago. Go down that nostalgia rabbit hole of music that just makes you feel good. And please, stay safe, friends.
I
drew the spooky tree. Nice.
Spooky tree, spooky. I wanted to share.
A personal fun fact.
I learned how to draw and add stuff to the maps.
Noish.